So what exactly is a false teacher or a false prophet or heresy or the true gospel or the false gospel? How do we decide? How do we discern? When do we divide?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a very, very important scripture verse to read to you today. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. The number to call to get in the conversation discussion today, especially if you've been trying to get through for a few days and haven't been able to, or we haven't been able to get to your call. The earlier you call, the better. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's the verse, Galatians 5. And it's really interesting that this is in the middle or towards the end of a book where Paul is dealing with some abuses, some false teaching, telling these Gentile believers in Galatia that unless they were circumcised and kept the law of Moses, that they were not saved. He's combating that. He's talking about true grace. And then he says this in verse 14 of Galatians 5. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Let me read that again. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. We are continuing to talk about issues in the aftermath of Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference. And I want to focus on some fundamental questions today, as always the goal being to destroy that which is wrong by building up that which is right, to be constructive rather than destructive alone. So my goal is not to badmouth. My goal is not to bash. My goal is to get us thinking together as people of God. And those of you who don't agree with us or don't believe what we believe, please listen in and see how we deal with these disputes and questions within the family. I said yesterday that God has not primarily put me on the radio and given me this particular voice. Obviously, we've been in ministry for decades. But he's not given me this particular voice on Daily Talk Radio these last 5+ years, primarily to be a heresy hunter. I'm not saying that others aren't called to that. I'm not saying that heresy hunting is a negative. I'm saying that that is not my primary role on the radio. That's not the primary reason I'm here. The number one thing we want to do is spark moral, cultural, spiritual revolution through the gospel. And that includes for us getting people grounded rightly in God. That includes for us getting people so in love with Jesus that their changed lives go and change the world. That includes the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people. That includes dealing with moral and cultural issues. And yes, we'll deal with error. We do all the time. And yes, we'll talk about controversial issues. But my purpose is not to get on the air every day and play clips of people I differ with and bash them. I'm not judging someone else for doing something or how they do it. I'm saying what I just described. I'm not saying anyone else is doing that. I just said what I've just described. It's not what God's called me to do. So here's the problem. When there is blatant false teaching, when there is blatant error, when we need to address it, when Paul named names, how do we do that without at the same time attacking brothers and sisters within the body or painting with such a broad brush that while we exterminate the bad, we also wipe out the good? And what is heresy actually, or a false teacher, false prophet? Here we go.
Give
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you as we talk through important gospel issues. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. The reason I read Galatians 5, and let me read the relevant verse again, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. The whole reason I read that is because I object to this whole thing that you are going to check my devotion to Jesus or my orthodoxy by challenging me to call out people by name. What about this one? What about that one? What about this group? What about that group? Can you condemn them? Can you? All right. Okay, that's not enough. What about this one? What about that one? What about that one? If I'm convinced that someone is not a believer, in other words, they deny the fundamentals of the gospel, they're part of a cult like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, or, you know, they preach they are the Christ or something like that. Of course, I will say that is a false teaching. That person is a false teacher, or this person is a false prophet. Because as I see it in Scripture, a false prophet is not someone who prophesies false in the New Testament now. Okay? A false prophet is not someone who says, I feel the Lord told me to tell you that you're going to get a bonus at work tomorrow, and instead you get fired. No, that person prophesied falsely. That person prophesied erroneously, all right? And they should be corrected for it and dealt with for it. But a New Testament false prophet is a wolf in sheep's clothing, according to Jesus in Matthew 7. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Not a believer. This person is a deceiver. This person is leading others to hell with them. That's a false prophet. According to 2 Peter, the second chapter, false teachers introduce damnable heresies. We're not talking about a wrong emphasis. We're not talking about should you speak in tongues or not speak in tongues. Should you raise your hands in service or not raise your hands. If you give generously, will God give generously back to you? We're not talking about a disagreement on that. Israel in the end times. Should you have a single pastor leader? Can women be pastors? So we're not talking about these as important as these issues may be. We're talking about damnable heresies, that if you believe this particular thing, you will go to hell. That is a false teacher. Now, you may be a pastor, shepherd, leader, and be teaching some things that are not accurate, all right? Especially if you believe one thing 10 years ago, and now you teach it a little differently. You say, okay, that was not accurate when I was teaching that. But does not make you a false teacher unless you were teaching a damnable heresy. By a damnable heresy, again, I mean believing that will bring you to hell. Believing that will bring you to hell. You cannot be a believer and follow that. Now, you might say, well, you're too narrow in your definition of false teacher. You're too narrow in your definition of false prophet. You might say, if someone prophesies falsely, they're a false prophet, period. And have that justified, say, from Deuteronomy 18. I understand your argument. I'm simply saying it's used in a specific way in the New Testament. I'm trying to be faithful to that language. Otherwise, we run a real risk. And this is what Paul's saying. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. We run a real risk of damning believers and of damning people who differ with us. Look, there are people who believe if you don't use the King James Bible, you're not saved. They actually believe that. There are people who believe if you were not baptized with a specific formula that says in the name of Jesus, based on a misinterpretation, by the way, of Acts 2:38, that you're not saved. There are some people that say if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. There are some people that say that the only true teaching about the end times is a pre-trib rapture. Not that you're not saved if you don't believe it, but that is the only true teaching and everything else is dangerous. And there are others who say that the pre-trib rapture teaching is dangerous and to be rejected. I was looking at a website the other day, and this website actually said that if you look at the stream of non-lordship salvation teaching, In other words, the idea that you don't have to have Jesus as your Lord in order to have him as Savior. This one website said it all springs from dispensationalism, pre-trib rapture teaching. Well, John MacArthur is a strong lordship salvation teacher and a pre-trib rapture dispensationalist at the same time. Wouldn't that be self-contradictory? The early dispensationalists at the turn of the 1900s were not charismatic. Well, many charismatics are dispensationalists. Well, how can you do both at the same time? Well, the point is we need to study the scriptures carefully, and we need to listen carefully to one another and be willing to have our views challenged by one another. But this idea that you're going to test orthodoxy by challenging me or challenging someone else to call out false teachers, I had an excellent talk on the phone with a dear brother who was at the Strange Fire Conference. And we had a lengthy talk. He had contacted me, wanted to interact. And he mentioned someone that I know to be a godly man, a man who loves Jesus, a man who's really a student of the Word. And he said he's a false teacher. And I said to this brother, I said, if there were two boats, he's in one and you're in the other, I'm getting in the boat with him. I know him. I know his walk. I know his life. He said he's a false teacher. Okay, that means he's hell-bound and leading others to hell with him, and he believes damnable heresies? If someone said that heaven at one and the same time will be a great eye-opener and a great mouth-closer, you get that? Heaven at one and the same time will be a great eye-opener and a great mouth-closer. And in point of fact, there are a lot of people that are going to be surprised to see me in heaven. Uh-huh. And I don't doubt I'm going to be surprised to see a lot of people in heaven. You say, well, Mike, you're completely contradicting yourself. You're mentioning John MacArthur by name. I'm mentioning Pastor MacArthur by name with all respect because I'm saying that the way this is being approached is harmful and divisive as opposed to a redemptive way to address errors while recognizing what God really is doing. And there are ways that polarize the body more and more, as opposed to let's come together in humility with one another and listen to each other and see where we're missing each other. How many times, on all you married couples, how many times have you and your spouse just had a massive misunderstanding and you keep getting more entrenched in your positions and talking past each other until one of you humbles himself or humbles herself and says, okay, obviously, I'm misunderstanding you. Obviously, I'm not hearing you. Please help me to hear and understand. And when you do, it's like, oh, boy, I didn't see that. You're absolutely right. Or no, that's not what I meant. No, this is what I meant. And then you may still have a difference, but at least you can address it constructively. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think I need to be calling out names more? Do you think it's wrong? Do you think I'm not being a faithful shepherd in doing it? And by the way, I'm not asking you to tell me what I should do on radio or how I should do it. I'm asking you as listeners. Do you think I should be calling out more names and, yeah, this guy on TV and that one and this group and that group? Or is it better to address the issues and focus on the right path we need to take while exposing error and help us to move forward together? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, in my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, subtitled is The Charismatic Church, Slain in the Spirit, Down for the Count, which I wrote as a Pentecostal, charismatic myself, came out in 1991. It is one of the most intense books you'll ever read. It will pierce your heart. It will get you hungering and thirsting for God, for prayer, for Jesus, for the Word, for repentance, for the real power of God. And there's a chapter in the book called The Samson Cycle. Johnny, let's play some of these clips. Let's start with clip number 45. This is excerpts of a message that I preached about Samson. This is as a charismatic speaking to my charismatic brothers and sisters. Start with clip number 45. Well,
here he is with Delilah, a Philistine woman. He's not supposed to be with a Philistine woman. He's an Israelite. They're not supposed to intermarry. Look what happens. You know, she tells him, tell me what's the secret of your strength. He's in the enemy's territory, and he's still functioning in power. And it happens until finally he tells the whole story. Delilah called Samson. The Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. It's a picture of so much of the charismatic church of America. It's a picture of so much of the ministry that's going on. We're going to go on with our show just like we've done it in the past. We're going to go on and put on the same performance that we have and get the same results, and we don't realize God's left us.
Friends, I'm going to play some other voices for you in the show today. Pentecostal leaders, charismatic leaders. We've addressed abuses for a long time. We'll continue to, just as Baptist brothers and Methodist brothers and others have addressed abuses within their own camps, while recognizing the wonderful, powerful thing that God is doing among so many people around the world. We'll be right back, and it's going to get interesting today. Stay with me.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a tragic story. What a gifted individual, uniquely gifted, called at a critical time in Israel's history. And yet the fundamental character flaws that were there from the start brought him down. He ends up blinded, his eyes gouged out. He ends up dead along with the bodies of the Philistines. He ends up with his life cut short. Friends, there are critically important lessons for us in this day and age, because many of us are so fascinated with power. Many of us are so fascinated with anointing. Many of us are so fascinated with gifts that we have lost sight of the foundations. And if the foundations are not right, the building will come crumbling down.
Friends, these are things that I and many others have said for years. And it's because when God moves, you also have abuses. When God moves, you have counterfeit. When you're strong in one way, you can be weak in another way. And that's why the whole body needs each other. That's why we need to listen to each other and humble ourselves. And then keep looking back to the word and keep looking back to the fruit. And above all, point to Jesus. 866-348-7884. Look, my book, Hyper Grace, due out January 7th. I deal with individuals I differ with. I name them by name. I quote them, but I say these are, except in extreme case here and there, these are people that I know to be brothers in the Lord. Just happens to be men I'm quoting. So brothers in the Lord. And they are doing a lot of good with a tremendous message here, but here's the error. And we've got to separate the error. As opposed to blasting them all as false teachers and just dropping their names all the time. Because what I do then is I demonize them. I demonize them. And then we get into camps. I'm of Brown. I'm of MacArthur. I'm of Prince. I'm of Jared, you know, whoever the people are. As opposed to saying, okay, if we are in the same family, then how can we have this family difference? And I believe you're teaching something very dangerous and destructive. But I want to deal with you about it. I want to reach out to you about it. And if you still differ, well, I will differ with you publicly to correct these things, but in a way that is constructive, not destructive. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, about to go to the phones. I have been really eager to make an announcement. This is not a hype PR thing to stretch it out. I thought I had the details in order to make this announcement 2 days ago, and I had to delay it, or yesterday I was ready to, and found out today I still have to delay it. So I'm really eager to make an announcement that I think you'll be very excited to hear, but I just don't. I'm still waiting to get some emails with final details, and until that, I can't say more, okay? But stay tuned. You'll be the first to know. Let me go to the phones, starting with Eric in Queens, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
What's up, brother? How are you? Yeah, Eric from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Westminster Presbyterian Church, right? Part of the Frozen Chosen. Here you go, brother. Newsflash. I will see you in heaven. I agree. I will. But if I could humbly say this and put my two cents in, I'm a new believer, born and raised in Brooklyn, driving in traffic on the LEI right now. Here's the deal. We are all in that life raft. We are in the boat, brother. Let us not waste time. What does your seat look like? Why does your seat differ than mine? We need to spend every 3 seconds, every ounce of our energy, looking outside the raft to those that are drowning, man. Those that need Jesus. Forget all this stuff. So my humble opinion, your radio time is expensive and valuable. Forget this other John MacArthur guy, whoever he even is. Forget it. Let's look to those that need Christ.
All right, so here's the question. All right, here's the question. And Eric, I appreciate the passion. And I know you're telling the truth about the LIE, the world's largest parking lot, because I grew up on Long Island. Okay,
here's the thing.
And it could well be the prayers of a listener that have you stuck in traffic, because I have listeners that are drivers, and they can only be in the car certain hours, so they pray for traffic while my show is on so they can stay in the car. I'm telling you the truth, New Yorkers. Okay, and that's not the only reason there's traffic, I understand. But listen, here's the problem. If I'm in the boat with you, right?
Right.
And you're
right.
Rowing in one direction, and I'm rowing in the other direction. And then you got someone who's supposed to be the captain of the boat saying, move this way. And someone on the other side of the boat saying, move that way. And then there's a hole in the boat. Well, we have to address that so that we can reach out to all the others. And in point of fact, most of the people listening to my radio show are believers. So it's not primarily an evangelistic outreach, although I'm always thinking about the lost. My greatest goal is to get us strong, get us healthy, get us in unison, and then all the other time, the rest of the day, the rest of our week, we can be reaching the lost and touching them. But Eric, you are right in your analogy. They're not two separate boats. If we're saved, we're in the same boat. And I appreciate the call, and that's ultimately why I'm doing what I'm doing, sir. You're right, airtime is valuable and expensive, but that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that we can be effective together in touching a lost world. Thank you, sir. And look, if God has given us power to help us do that, if God has given us power and equipped us to help us do that, then don't we want to act on that? In other words, if someone's saying it's not for today and someone's saying it is for today, well, let's find out. Because if it is for today and it can help us better reach lost people, let's do it. I will get to calls very quickly. I want to play one more clip. Let's just play clip number 47. This is in my Samson exhortation. Let's listen to this together.
We need to be impressed with the things that impress God. God's not impressed with anointing. God's not impressed with your ability or my ability to speak or draw a crowd or sing or play or perform. Or if he heals the sick through us or drives out demons through us and gives us prophetic revelation. God's not impressed with that. He's never looking at that as a measure. What he's looking at is the quality of our life. What he's looking at is the truthfulness of what we preach and teach. When do we learn not to push forth those that are not ready? When do we learn not to be enamored with gifts and power and crowds and excitement?
Again, that's the message that's been in my heart for many years. And that's the message that's been in the hearts of my brothers and sisters for many years. And that's why I work side by side with friends of mine who don't speak in tongues and friends who do. Because we're majoring on the majors together. And there are other things we're going to differ on, but we can major on the majors together. My book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, is packaged together with It's Time to Rock the Boat, a call to God's people to rise up and preach a confrontational gospel. You'll be amazed at the preface, right? I tell the story of what happened when we addressed a major food chain before I had any voice many years ago about the magazines that were out. You'd be amazed to hear the story. And in the book, I talk about connoisseur Christians and a gourmet gospel, how to identify the real gospel, and what really happens when the Holy Spirit comes. You'll find these two books together invaluable. They'll really stir your heart. When I wrote Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and my wife Nancy said to me, it's a very good book, to get that compliment from her, I never forgot it 20-something years later, pierced my heart in writing it. So the two books together with the two CDs from the interviews with Phil Johnson and my other guests on Monday, $25, postage paid. If you can become a monthly supporter, better still, and we'll send these out to you. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By the way, I'm seeing some very interesting comments here when I posted on Facebook and said, okay, look, I really do have an announcement to make, but I still don't have all the details in place yet. I thought I did. That's why I said I was making it and then couldn't make it yet. But let's see. One of our grads is wondering, is Nancy pregnant? No, at 58, she's not pregnant. Another grad married to an Italian, and they're serving as missionaries in Italy. You're moving to Italy. I love her for the food and the fellowship. No, you won the lottery? Nope. You're going to debate John MacArthur? That'd be a joy. We do it in a civil way, I'm sure. No, not yet. You're coming to our church in Faith Fellowship Church, Grenada, Mississippi. I haven't been invited yet. My book's being made into audiobooks. Oh, I wish, not yet. Starting another school. Actually, we're starting a number of schools for our schools of ministry in Holland and Cameroon and Croatia in coming months. Oh, yeah, it's exciting. No, that's not it. Official debate with one of Strange Fire people. That would be a delight, but not yet. Keep guessing. 866-34-TRUTH. So how do we deal with error and falsehood without tearing the body up? You know, it's like someone that has a certain type of cancer and it's wrapped around an organ. The cancer's bad. The cancer's got to be dealt with. But if it's not dealt with carefully, then you end up killing the healthy organ and doing more harm than good in the treatment. How can we be surgical, loving, wise at the same time and sort these things through in a way that glorifies Jesus and helps us together to make an impact? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Gail in Maryland. Is this Accokeek, Maryland?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. I lived in Montgomery County, Maryland for 9 years and coming back that way this week, but I've never heard of Accokeek.
Oh, are you familiar with the new National Harbor that's here in Maryland?
Not really. I've been out there for a while. But anyhow, okay, yeah, your time to weigh in. Thanks.
Okay, I just wanted to cast my vote, Dr. Brown, on whether or not you should call out the names of those that I guess may be in error or deal with the issues that are in error. And my vote is I totally believe wholeheartedly that you should deal with the issues. I think dealing with the person would be divisive to the body of Christ. And my God, what it would do to the non-believers to just see the bickering amongst the body.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at a comment, someone weighing in on a Charisma website, and they're not happy with John MacArthur. They're not happy with me. You know, the person claims to be a seeker. And on the one hand, there's some mocking in the tone, you know, when you have 40,000 denominations and all of that, which to me just means you can have one faith with many, many different, you know, parts to it. But to the extent this person is sincere, yeah, how we conduct our differences in the eyes of the world is a big question. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 that if you're defrauded, better to be defrauded rather than to sue that person in a secular court. So I take you to court. Our community knows we're both believers. We can't reconcile our differences about is your rose bush on my property or not. So I'm going to take you to court. Better that I'm defrauded or that you lose your rose bush than that we bring reproach. The problem is when there are public issues like the conference and names are being named, then how do we appeal? Because everyone's asking the questions, people calling my show and asking. So I'm with you in sentiment. The question is, when names are mentioned, can we do it in a constructive way? But thank you for weighing in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. 866-34-TRUTH. I was criticized in some of my Hyper Grace articles by people who said, well, you're talking about issues. Why aren't you naming names? And I said, because in a short article, I can't be fair to that person in a theological issue. It's one thing if there's a major controversy, I can say, hey, please, brother, can we look at this differently? But if we're getting into a complex theological issue, all right, my book, I'll do it. And when my book's ready to come out, then I'll discuss it more. But otherwise, you've got to be so careful.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for being part of the broadcast, 866-348-7884. You know, when I wrote It's Time to Rock the Boat, I'm academic in terms of my study and background, and if you get my scholarly writing, it's often more endnotes and footnotes than text. For example, my book, Israel's Divine Healer, if you want a comprehensive study of the subject, especially majoring on the Old Testament, I recommend the book, but it's a serious academic book. In fact, it has healing virtue in that if you struggle with insomnia, if you read the book carefully before going to sleep, you will be out quickly. But the book is 80,000 words in text, 85,000 words of endnotes. When I wrote The Real Kosher Jesus last year, I wrote it a very intense burst of 3 weeks, but I still added 450 endnotes, even though it was meant to be a popular non-academic book. But when I wrote It's Time to Rock the Boat, I had quotes from people that I thought were horrific and totally wrong. And I just said, here's what a teacher said, and I quoted it, and I didn't say who it was. You say, why? Why? Because I was concerned. I didn't have a daily radio show or anything where I could talk through issues and things like that. It was the days before the internet where you could be constantly interacting and clarifying. And I thought, if I mention the name with this horrific quote, the person's a brother, the person loves the Lord, but they're really wrong on this issue. The person's going to be totally demonized. And everyone that likes me is now going to think that the worst of that person, as opposed to having a right view, the way God looks at all of us, if we're his people, that he sees us as his people. And then if we have flaws or errors or issues, he sees those. And some are serious and some are hurting others. And we have to deal with them. But there's got to be a constructive way. Look, I could easily throw my cessationist brothers out completely in terms of fellowship or anything or working together. I got saved in a Pentecostal church in 1971. I speak in tongues, okay? I've gone away to pray for days and sometimes spoken in tongues for hours and meditated on the word while doing it or commune with the Lord in my mind while doing it or got great insight in how to pray through certain areas while praying in tongues. And there are folks saying it's gibberish. It's just gibberish. Well, I don't take it personally. I think, oh, what a shame that they don't see or understand. But if they see some crazy thing and some guy screaming, money cometh to me and, you know, throw the money at my feet, you're going to get rich, and the person also starts speaking in tongues, and that's what they think of. Okay, I understand. That's a shame that happened on TV. And someone said to me, they posted on Facebook, they said, look, as much as I may have a voice and reach certain people, he said, if I mention your name just to somebody on the street, they don't know who you are. But if I mention Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen, they know who they are. In other words, they have a certain platform and face beyond what I do. And so people, for whatever good or bad is coming from there, are going to group us all together. Okay. So I understand the issues and the challenges. But there's got to be here. Somebody posted something the other day. I guess this morning was it, and they asked me, what do I think of this, that, you know, the charismatics are worshiping Baal? And I said, that's a dangerous, ugly statement. It's a dangerous, ugly statement. You're talking about some of the finest people on the planet, millions of them, devoted to Jesus, loving the word, loving souls, living holy lives, and they believe that when Paul said, don't forbid speaking in tongues or don't despise prophecies, they believe they should. They believe they should do exactly what Paul said. And they don't see any reason not to believe that they need the power of the Spirit to be more effective witnesses. And many of these people never heard of charismatic things, but God just touched them, and then they went to Scripture and said, oh, there it is. There it is. That's why I'm experiencing these things. So when people don't understand, they just throw out this rhetoric, and it gets so wild, and we just think we're being spiritual, and we damn this group and damn that group. And a lot of it's irresponsible Twitter and Facebook and social media stuff and comments on articles. So we who are in leadership need to be responsible. I think that most pastors and leaders, when they're teaching behind the pulpit, have that greater sense of responsibility. But sometimes we can just think, hey, man, I'm so right. I'm so right. So tell you what, here's the deal. If you think you're so right on a certain doctrinal issue where we differ, then you're going to have to show me I'm wrong based on the scriptures. Let us have a debate. Dr. Sam Storms was on with me Monday. He is an amillennialist. I am absolutely not an amillennialist. I'm a premillennialist. I think it's really important. He is a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. And are we brothers? You better believe it. Are we soulmates? You better believe it. Could I learn a lot from him? You better believe it. Could he learn something from me? I hope so. And I honor him enough to think he's not making this stuff up in the Word, and there are reasons for our differences, and we don't all have all the light at the same time. And where there's serious error, you better believe we'll stand together arm in arm and address it and rebuke it. And I will honor men like John MacArthur as we stand together and address and rebuke error while we recognize truth and unity in Jesus together. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Kathleen in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
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 Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Dr. Brown, you said about addressing the issue. I think before it comes on the air, that you need to meet with the pastor and discuss it before it comes on the air. Because I'll tell you about a situation. I'm a Christian that came from a Muslim family. And my mother, she has been laughing at us with the division that going on between the Christians. And when things like these are being aired on the radio, it just make each other look bad rather than confronting the pastor first and then coming on the air with it. I have been listening to John MacArthur for over 13 years, and he, not too long, probably about a month ago, he has been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I, in my opinion, I am thinking that the area that he's addressing, there are a lot of Pentecostal church and deliverance ministries that a lot of stuff are going on, and the gospel is not being preached. I will give you one person, Commander CSI, he called himself a prophet. He's asking people to bring money to him, and everybody that goes to him, he's telling them that this one do them something, and this, and they have to carry money by the thousands of dollars for him. There are a lot of other pastors who are casting out demons, and you see in even on the television, there are a lot of people in churches that are jumping up in aisles and rolling and screaming in the ground and stuff like this. And these are the areas that John MacArthur, I personally feel he's addressing. Because before I became a Christian, I was a Muslim and was seeking. I went to several churches before I came to know that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ.
Yeah, but let me just say, Kathleen, let me just say this. That's not what Pastor MacArthur was addressing. He was addressing people like me, people like Times Square Church and Brooklyn Tabernacle, people like Yesupada, my friend in India. He was addressing charismatics worldwide, said the whole movement is a deception and a fraud. You have good people in it, like John Piper, who said he admires, but we're deceived. It's a fraud. It's dangerous. And see, I know so many people that were raised in church and heard a lot of stuff that filled their heads and never, ever encountered the Lord, Kathleen. They never encountered the Lord. And they left entirely, and then they went in one of these meetings where people were jumping and shouting, and they came under conviction of sin because the Holy Spirit was moving. And they got dramatically set free and delivered of demons, and now they love Jesus and have been serving him for many, many years. So, yeah, there are charlatans and frauds, like someone saying, you got to bring me all this money. I understand that, but you also have others who are not doing it that way, but they're manipulating church funds and taking huge amounts out for themselves, and they don't speak in tongues. So let's address the frauds. And also remember, folks, I've been trying to reach out, and thank you for the call. I'm not minimizing the abuses. I agree with them. But look, there are people snake handling out there, and they're weighing spirituality by whether you can pick up snakes based on a misunderstanding of Mark 16. Okay, you got this tiny, tiny little group in one or two parts of the country, and that's basically it. So I don't have to get up on the air and renounce snake handling every day. You say, yeah, but you got these big TV preachers. Okay, and I've addressed issues about it, and we'll continue to speak against carnal prosperity message and a superficial all about me mess. If you look at most of what I've written for years and years and years, it's addressing the superficial abusive gospel in America and especially in charismatic circles. And please remember also, my plea for months has been for a private sit down with key leaders in this and then for public debate of the issues in a formal way with a moderator to lay out the scriptural issues. So we've got to be careful the way we address things. And I am addressing them for the purpose of unity and moving us forward in the Lord. Okay, Frank, Nathan, Lynette, Jesse, coming your way as soon as we're back.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire. Yes, that number 866-34-TRUTH. Straight to the phones. Frank in Staten Island, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Thank you, Michael. God bless you.
God bless, buddy.
Yeah, I would never say someone's a Christian or not a Christian. But one of the main things that Mr. John MacArthur teaches is this so-called doctrine of faith alone. Him, R.C. Sproul, D. James Kennedy, I've seen them on the John Ankerberg show several times.
That would be a standard Protestant evangelical viewpoint.
Right. That is not biblical. Both of us know that that's not biblical. And that could get a person put straight into hell. If you wind up in hell for believing something like that, then that person was not giving you the gospel.
All right. Just quick question, Frank.
I want to say something else, but...
Okay. No. I just want to be clear on this, though. You know that John MacArthur teaches that repentance is an essential element of faith.
Yes.
And that if someone does not receive Jesus as Lord, the person is not saved. So therefore, it is faith that will be always demonstrated by works.
Well, that's good. But when you hear faith alone, like what they were doing on this show, Michael, and this is a fact, because I'm going to expound on this a little bit. They were railing against the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church doesn't teach faith alone. And that's a problem. That's a very big problem as far as I'm concerned. John MacArthur believes that the Catholic Church is a heretical church. He wants nothing to do with the Catholic Church, and that's sad. And you have other teachers, like Jimmy Swaggart, for example. He writes in his book... Catholicism and Christianity. He says this, quote, "The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Holy Mass is an expiatory sacrifice in which the Son of God is actually sacrificed anew on the cross," unquote. That is a falsehood. The Catholic Church doesn't even teach that or believe that. But this is what happens when somebody hangs out a shingle, makes themselves a phenomenal Bible exegete, and misleads a lot of people. And this is what I have against John MacArthur. I believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today, definitely. And there is also a lot of sharpness.
So you are claiming, for our listeners that aren't familiar with your voice, and by the way, I just want to say this, we are not going to devote the rest of this show or the next hour to a debate about Catholicism as a whole, but that's definitely a fair thing to take up at a future show. Okay, but I'm just announcing that to everybody else. But for those who don't know you, Frank, you claim to be... saved based on what? On your own merit or on the merit of the cross?
No, of course. The basis of our salvation is the cross of Christ. Absolutely.
All right. And so you are a practicing Catholic and you claim to be a born-again follower of Jesus and you know your sins are forgiven. If you were to die now, you'd be with the Lord.
I'm a practicing Catholic, yes, and I believe that my sins are forgiven. That doesn't mean, Michael, that I might not become an axe murderer in a week from now.
No. Got it. And therefore deny the Lord. Okay, so I just wanted to say that to throw another thing out there. For some of you, you'd say it's not possible. Someone like Frank couldn't even be a Christian if he's Catholic. And remember, there are Catholics saying someone like me couldn't be a Christian because I'm not Catholic. Oh, that's a discussion to have. We will absolutely have it. And I'm sure we'll have our friend Frank call in that day. But the plot thickens, doesn't it? Thank you, sir. I expected things to go that way. But if you want to talk about Catholicism, not today, okay? I took Frank's call, but that's just going to get us too far afield. Fair enough? We'll talk about it another day. Let's go to Jesse in Fort Mill. South Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry, and I want to say that listening to you has really kind of grown my understanding of some of these things. So I have kind of a question mostly. I grew up in Calvary Chapel churches in Southern California, through Greg Laurie's church in Harvest and other churches in Redlands, California. And I never would have considered myself a charismatic. I never maybe understood it fully. I went to a church, you know, that was non-denominational, and we believed in... But at the same time, I believed in the Holy Spirit. I believed in the gifts of the Spirit. But I guess because it was so abused, I kind of pulled away from, speaking in tongues. And if somebody said, "Are you a charismatic?" I would have said no. But then there was definitely a time where I really had to come on my knees to the Lord and definitely heard his voice and definitely got some direction in my life, and then did find through my career that I felt that I had sort of a gift of discernment. When I met people, I could really kind of sense their spirit, whether they had ill will towards me or where they were in their faith in some ways.
But you're saying, though, that you saw abuses because of which you didn't want to be identified with something or cause you to draw back. Look, we've all done this. We've all done this one way or another, where we see something that's related to us somehow and it repulses us or it's negative to us, and therefore we draw back. We have a reaction. And the challenge, the challenge, though, Jesse, is what does Scripture say? And that's the ultimate thing. Okay, we got a break coming up, but real quick, go ahead.
So the two-part question is, I guess, because I never considered myself a charismatic, but now when I hear this argument, I definitely believe in the Holy Spirit. I definitely believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So I kind of would like to hear your exact definition of what a charismatic is. And then also the second part of the question would be that, do you feel that we focus too much on the gifts like speaking in tongues or prophecy and in some sense alienate the people that may have a different gift that they
right. Okay. I'm going to answer you quickly. First, when we're just describing charismatic, it is someone who believes that the gifts of the Spirit that were operative in the New Testament, tongues, healing, prophecy, continue for today. And that it is God's will that his church be equipped with these for the edification of the body, the reaching of the lost, and the glorification of Jesus. May come in 1,000 different shapes and forms, fundamentally, yes. As far as our emphasis, from what I can tell, the traditional Pentecostal churches and many charismatic churches have more of a form of being charismatic Pentecostal, the raising our hands, saying certain things, as opposed to the real power and the real visitation. And if we focused on the endowment of God's power for the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the glorifying of Jesus, I don't believe we could ever go wrong in doing that. And when we recognize that the gifts that God gives are for the edifying of the body, as well as for the salvation of the lost, then by all means, let's have them all. And Paul says to earnestly desire them and not to forbid them. But let us keep our focus, Jesse, and I think this is the big thing. Why? For the glorification of Jesus, for the glorification of Jesus, that he's risen from the dead, for the edification of the body, and to touch a dying world. If we do that, then all different gifts will be recognized and embraced, sir. My book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, will absolutely point you in that direction and perhaps create a hunger, a thirst, desire for more of God in your life, to be a more effective witness and to see Jesus glorified. Get it together with It's Time to Rock the Boat and then the CDs from our Monday broadcast, $25 postage paid, the two books in one and the CDs. Or better still, if you become a monthly supporter, we'll send this out to you today. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we're not just seeking power. We're not just seeking gifts. We're seeking everything God has to glorify Jesus. So what exactly is a false teacher or a false prophet or heresy or the true gospel or the false gospel? How do we decide? How do we discern? When do we divide?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to present something to you and tell me what you make of this, all right? It's an interesting spiritual question. As we talk about heresy, as we talk about false teaching, false prophets, as we talk about whether we can just address issues or do we name names. Paul named names at a certain point, but it was in the context of people knowing one another, not just broadcasting it out through social media. How do we address these things? I've got a little question for you in terms of something that I ran into a few years back, actually over 20 years back. Curious to get your feedback. 866-348-7884, the number to call to join in. Before I present my theoretical, well, it's not theoretical, it actually happened. But before I present that to you, here's a note that I got from one of my colleagues over in the Middle East. And he was actually concerned he was saying he wasn't concerned. He knew as the Strange Fire conference was going on that people were saying that people who believed as he did in the gifts and power of the Spirit today were somehow deviant. And he said this band of, quote, deviants were too busy to care. We were baptizing a former Muslim in our driveway in the Middle East. As this brother renounced his former life of sin and professed his faith in Jesus Christ, which he encountered and experienced while in prison, our cessationist brothers back home professed that, quote, nothing good has come from the charismatic movement. I, and the still wet from the waters of baptism former Muslim, respectfully disagree. And for that matter, so does the soldier at the Syrian refugee camp whose arm was healed when one of our charismatic brothers prayed in Jesus' name last week. And the other refugee whose body was completely healed from her symptoms of diabetes, the crippled man, the blind man, the dead girl, the skeptic, the atheist, and so many others who have met Jesus as a result of a charismatic laborer. See, we're not talking about false miracles, okay? We're not talking about false signs and wonders that draw people away from Jesus. We're talking about things that draw people to Jesus. We're talking about someone being healed in Jesus' name, and as a result of that, repenting of their sin in Jesus' name. The Jesus of the Scriptures, the Word made flesh, the divine Son, the only payment for our sins. He died for what we did. We were guilty. He died. We receive His righteousness. He took our sin. When someone repents in the name of Jesus, when someone who has been guilty of walking away from God, denying God, being a Muslim, being a skeptic, atheist, whatever, and they have an encounter with the risen Jesus, and they're miraculously touched and healed, and they renounce their sin, and they give their lives to Jesus, and they say, from here on, I'm going to follow Him. And they love the Word, and they live godly lives, and they go out and win their friends and neighbors to Jesus, and we're going to be with them forever and ever. Let me tell you something. Satan didn't heal that person. Satan didn't heal that person. I remember years ago in the days when I was skeptical of divine healing and tried to fight against these things, I heard a simple preacher from Texas say, you know, in Bible days, it was the devil who made people sick and Jesus who made them well. Today we got people telling us it's Jesus who makes them sick and the devil who makes them well. I remember getting so mad as he was speaking because there was some level of truth to what he was saying in terms of that accusation. So we come back, I got a question for you. I want to get your take on it, and we'll go right to your calls after that. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. When do we divide? When do we say we can't work together? Would I work side by side to advance the gospel with a Jehovah's Witness? No, I don't believe the person is a believer, unless they don't understand their doctrine and they got saved accidentally through Jehovah's Witnesses and they don't really believe what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. But if they truly believe what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, it's not a gospel of salvation that they preach. And if you're listening as Jehovah's Witness, let that rock your world and contact us so we can help point you in the right direction. Really, do it. Maybe God set it up for you to be listening at this very moment. Would I work together with a Baptist who said tongues is not for today, but was born again and loved Jesus? A Presbyterian who believed in infant baptism, was born again and loved Jesus? Would I work together with them to preach the gospel in an area? If we could, why not? We're going to preach the same Jesus to them. And you know, if they end up in the one church, they're going to hear certain things different than what I believe. They end up in the church I was part of, they'd hear things different than the others believe. But we join together. When do we address error in a forthright way and say, no, that's heresy? I use the word heresy very carefully. To me, as I understand it, if not scripturally, because the word just talks about divisions and sects and things like that and doesn't necessarily have a strict definition to it. But as it's been used in church history and the way I'm using it, it is reserved for that which is damnable. In other words, if you believe this, you are hellbound. If you believe this, you cannot be saved. So there are 1,000 different things we can differ on within the body and still be saved. And there are other things we cannot differ on and still be saved. And sometimes a line is clearer to God than it is to us. But many things are clearly laid out in the Word. By the way, as we come into the second hour of broadcasting, the first hour for most of you listening, sometimes lines that are jammed at the end of the hour open up at the beginning. So now's a great time to call in, 866-34-TRUTH. So before I go to the phones, tell me what you make of this. My book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, had come out. It's 1993. I was scheduled to speak at some major churches in Sweden, kind of do a tour of major churches in Sweden and talk about my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, about anti-Semitism in church history and things like that. And the pastor that organized it, one of the most respected pastors in the country, called me and said, Mike, we have to wait. Not a good time for a foreigner to come in and have meetings. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, we had so-and-so come in. And he did all these laughing meetings. People laughed and laughed and laughed. And it seemed like they were getting touched, but, you know, we weren't looking for that. I said, well, you know, brother, I said, my message is a call to weep, not a call to laugh. He said, I understand that. I understand that, but it's just not a good time to come because of the controversy. He goes, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. He said, a man just came into my office the other day. And he said to me, Pastor, I have to talk to you. He said, I was in these meetings. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. I've been in your church for years. I laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said, I'm not laughing anymore. He said, I have to confess something to you. I've been sexually abusing my children. And the pastor said, and I had to take him to the police. He had to go and state his crimes to the police. He goes, that's what happened in these meetings. And I thought, isn't that the opposite of what happened? Oh, I'm not one that's going to come have meeting. We're all going to roll on the floor and laugh. That's not a message or ministry. But I thought to myself, wait a second. It seemed as if this guy got touched as a result of which he now came and confessed sin. He'd been in this guy's church for years and it never came up to the surface. Could it be the Holy Spirit worked in an unusual way? In other words, did the pastor come to the wrong conclusion? But just a question for you. Just a question. Is it possible that someone will have a baptism of joy that gets them an encounter with God and through that encounter with God brings them to repentance and weeping? Or is it always weeping first and then joy? My paradigm is weeping first and then joy. That's what I see as a biblical paradigm. But could it be that through the person opening up and opening their heart to God and receiving his joy, that they now come to repentance, the goodness of God leading them to repentance, and that kind of an application of the truth? Just a question for you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lynette in Wyandanch on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I think that if we look at Scripture, there was a time when Paul said that he withstood Peter to his face over an important doctrinal issue. And so this is a case of where a man of God is mentioning another man of God by name and confronting the issue. So my view as to what you should do is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I certainly agree with that, Lynette. Absolutely. Let me ask this. Something happened publicly with Peter, right? So because it happened publicly, Paul addressed it. Then he brought it up to the Galatians because they were in danger of turning away from the Lord entirely. So he brought up something embarrassing with a colleague because it was a public thing, number one, and number two, it was so essential that they heard it. And that's the real question, isn't it? And of course, we have to be led by the Spirit and follow biblical principles as much as they're laid out. Sometimes we exaggerate the danger. Sometimes, you know, we hear one kid screaming and think everybody's in danger. Sometimes we overreact. Sometimes we become complacent. So it can be a fine line to walk.
Right. I'm sure that it can be, but I also raised on Long Island, born in Brooklyn, but raised on Long Island, so we have that in common. And what I see of the state of the, I have to say, English-speaking body of Christ, I don't see this same type of problem so much in our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters churches. But in the English-speaking body of Christ, I see a great need for maturity, and I see a great need for someone who can teach from the original languages with authority. And I'm just hoping that you will. I can't tell you what to do, because, as I said, I believe that the Holy Spirit will do that. But I'm hoping that you will at some point be led to address this, all of the issues that John MacArthur and others have been bringing up, because they are calling out people by name and are painting a very, very negative picture of one of the few people that I see, anyway, that is endeavoring to actually mature the body and bring about unity, but also keep everything very biblically based and very Spirit-led. So I applaud you in your ministry, and I'm hoping that you will feel led to do some type of rebuttal.
Yeah, well, Lynette, I do appreciate that, and thank you for the kind words. And be assured that I'm aware. I'm on different networks across the country and different stations across the country. But one of the major networks across the country, the biggest one I'm on is Salem Radio Network, and we are close co-workers. Well, John MacArthur has been on Salem many years longer than me and on many more stations than me, and in those circles would have much more of a history and track record, and he's done so much phenomenal good for so many. At the same time, so I want to be honoring, not to play political games, no, but to recognize there are a whole lot of people out there listening that are confused, and I don't want it to be I'm of Brown, I'm of MacArthur, as much as we love Jesus and we really want truth. So I will respectfully address things, and again, I appreciate the kind words. By the way, I have a major announcement. I've been saying it for a couple of days. A major announcement to make. I am burning to make it. Every second during a break, I'm looking at my emails to see, do I have the details? I thought I had all the details in place. I thought I was ready to go, and then I found out I don't, and something's holding up. But it's a major announcement. You'll be excited to hear it, okay? And again, I appreciate the call, Lynette, but what you said reminded me that I needed to remind all of you. Hey, look, all of you listening in Dallas-Fort Worth, I think I follow Joseph Prince. I think he says so many things about grace that are amazing, life-changing, wonderful, freeing, liberating, and there's error with it. And I don't want it to be, I'm of Prince, I'm of Brown, but how can we work this through so that I don't steal the good that someone's giving, but at the same time we can sift through and look at the error? And let it be done with me. Let it be done with all of us. Let's scrutinize together. That's where I try to major on the majors, by the way. That's where I try to throw myself in the middle so that I don't bounce off the different walls. We major on the majors, we got a lot more chance of not falling into error. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Let me just take you back to a message that I preached some years ago on Samson. And, in fact, we'll start at clip number 48. Johnny, and this is a message. It's directed towards my charismatic brothers and sisters. I've been in so many different camps. I have ministered in so many different settings. I teach at schools. Here, I'll give you a quick example. I taught at one school one time. Hang on. I'll tell you when, Johnny. I taught at one school one time. How about getting interrupted by me on my own broadcast? How's that? All right. I taught at one school one time. They wanted me to come in and speak to them about the calling of Christians to make an impact on society. So I went there and I taught that. Then a couple weeks later, and the school is led by an individual who's somewhat controversial. I then, after teaching those students these things about the call on Christians to make an impact on society through the gospel, I then was teaching in another school. It was a seminary. And I was teaching the book of Jeremiah, to which I've written a commentary, and we were talking about false prophets. And someone in the class said to me, what about false prophets like so-and-so and so-and-so, and mentioned the head of the school where I had just taught. So I'm in these two schools where the students probably don't even think the other students are saved, or maybe at least one group looks at the other that way. And yet I know the people leading both of them, and they're believers. They are believers. I have no question about that. They know the Lord. They're born again. And on the fundamentals, we all agree. So I'm happy to be in these different circles and bring truth in the midst of them. But as someone largely in the charismatic Pentecostal movement and saved in a Pentecostal church in 1971, I'm in particular burdened about superficiality, sensationalism, carnality that can be in our midst. Just like in non-charismatic circles, there can often be deadness and cold intellectualism. So here's part of my Samson message, clip number 48.
I fully understand that the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. I fully understand that where God's moving, there'll be growth, there'll be life. I fully understand that there are things God wants to do that we cannot possibly produce, and if he's not working through us, it's just human effort. But what God requires, look, think of the requirements of elders in Scripture. The requirements are godly character. The requirements are godly families. The requirements are soundness in the Word. Those people to serve effectively must be full of the Spirit. Those people to be used by God must be anointed and carrying something, because it is not human effort that'll get the job done. But we need to esteem what God esteems. God esteems those who tremble at his word.
Yeah. Hey, these are things preached and been burdened for years and years and years and years. And all the circles where I travel, we all feel the same. We all feel the same. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. Joseph in Newark, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire, Joseph.
God bless you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
Okay, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Spirit that worked through the apostle and the day of the Pentecost is the same Spirit working through believers, saving many people. And I don't know why people are going through these errors. And if it was addressed publicly, it needs to be corrected publicly. You don't have to apologize for your position. A lot of people are deceived through those teaching. So whatever you're doing is beautiful. I encourage you. You're doing the right thing to address those teaching, because they're clearly heresy to me. Heresies. And there's a few teachers I don't listen to anymore because of those heresies that preach on the line, on the air, should I say. God bless you.
Hey, just stay there 1 second, Joseph. Thanks for that. Again, I would say a heresy is something that's someone that believes it wouldn't go to heaven, but obviously I'd say they're wrong teachings, false teachings. And of course, because I see these people as brothers doing good, I want to honor the good while addressing the bad. So I'm glad you appreciate that. What country are you from, sir?
I'm from Ivory Coast.
In Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Africa, 2006. And somebody like Aaron Cantin was clearly a false teacher. He was preaching good thing too.
To be honest, though, Harold Camping, I put completely in the camp of a false teacher. Is he saved? God knows. But if I would not put him in the same camp, obviously, with Pastor John MacArthur. But just a question for you. So you're Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. In Africa, do the Africans make a distinction between there's the natural realm and the spiritual realm, or do they see them as really intersecting?
Dr. Brown, there's a lot of Muslim people that came to Christ through those signs and wonders. There's a lot of people that came to Christ through those signs and wonders, especially in Africa with the witchcraft going on, with all these things. Those signs and wonders need to be performed. The Holy Spirit has to act in these signs and wonders to draw people to Christ. Maybe in America with this shallow Christianity, they don't see those signs and they're thinking that, oh, it's not happening anywhere else. But in Africa, most of the time people come to Christ through those signs and wonders, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Joseph, when I heard your accent immediately, I wanted to ask you that question, and you answered exactly as I thought you would. You said it all. It is the Holy Spirit drawing people to Christ, the Holy Spirit drawing people to Jesus, the Messiah. They see the power of the witch doctor. They see the power of the tribal spirits. They're bound. Allah can't save and deliver. And Jesus comes and saves and delivers. And they say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to live for you all of my days. And I'll tell you what, you go to some of these places without power to drive out demons or say, well, those things are only for the New Testament. You're going to be in big trouble because the demons are still there and because satanic power is still there. And if you don't recognize there's authority to drive out demons in Jesus' name, I've seen some pretty wild things, manifestations like right out of the pages of the New Testament. And I don't focus on demons and driving out demons. If you know, you listen to my show for any length of time, you know that, you understand that. But sometimes when the power of the Holy Spirit's moving, demons will be manifest. I remember one woman, well-dressed woman, came in the service. I was preaching in Italy. Well-dressed woman, looked very, very fashion conscious and proper. I would have taken her to be highly educated just based in demeanor and so on. She comes up to the altar to get right with God, and next thing starts foaming at the mouth and collapsing and shaking. She was heavily demonized, and she got set free that night. When they started to minister to her, there was a whole lot of junk going on in her life. Jesus set her free so that she could be a disciple. That's what it's all about. Not some silly show. Not some get-rich-off-the-gospel nonsense. Am I making sense? I really encourage you, on all sides of the debate, to get these two books. They're packaged together as one. And any funds that we make on this go straight into radio, 100% straight back into radio. Not a dime in my pocket, or my staff's pocket. Whatever happened to the power of God, which will stir, you want to talk about something that will stir you to go after God and want the real deal and to live a consecrated life to see God move in real repentance, together with It's Time to Rock the Boat, which will sift through a true gospel from a counterfeit gospel, the two books together and the 2 hours of programs with my guests on Monday, including John MacArthur's right-hand man, Phil Johnson, $25 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. Someone just sent me a link where they're setting me straight on the Strange Fire Conference. And the link has 8 views already. Now, maybe it came out seconds ago, so that could be. But we'll get someone on our team to, if someone wants to address me, always try to see what they have to say. And if they can teach me something, great. And if I can teach them something, you better believe I'm glad to do that. 866-348-7884. I got a question for you. I'm going to go to the phones. I got a question for you. You ready? I've been to India 20 times. 20 times. You've never been to India, but you watched some stuff on the internet about it. Just if you had a guess, who knows more about India, me or you? Now let's take a little further. You're an Indian. You're 70 years old. The first 60 years of your life, you lived in India. I've been there 20 times. Who knows India better? Well, Indian, me. Obviously, makes sense, all right? I'm not a Southern Baptist. I have friends who are Southern Baptists. I work with Southern Baptists, but I'm not a Southern Baptist. I've been preached over the years in a lot of Southern Baptist churches. I don't think I've taught. Have I taught in any Southern Baptist schools? I don't think so. I don't believe so. Be honored to, given the invitation and schedule permitting, but I haven't. I don't think I have. It doesn't come to mind that I have. Who knows more about Southern Baptists? Well, I've read some stuff about Southern Baptists, and I know someone's a Southern Baptist. Who knows more about them, me or the person that's been a Southern Baptist pastor for 40 years? So what I find interesting, one of the better calls I've had, someone calls me out yesterday because I'm not denouncing certain errors enough. And I said to them, how long have you been listening to the radio broadcast? One day. Oh, 22 books I've written, about to be 25 when some others come out. How many of my books have you read? None. Well, I've written hundreds of articles. I didn't get to ask about the articles, but I would imagine it's none of that. So you're going to call me out for not doing something that I've done for decades just because you're not familiar with it. As I've traveled the world, I've often joked with people that I would rather face an angry, hostile crowd. I would rather face an angry, hostile crowd than taste new food, especially some food that does not look familiar to me. Now, I don't like to try certain things. I'm kind of a wimp about it, but angry, hostile, potentially violent crowd, throw me in front of them in a heartbeat, and I'll preach. Trust me, I've done it. And I've avoided the food I didn't want to try. I've tried to figure out a way to eat it, swallow it without chewing, to be honest. So I'm getting ready to go to Finland one time, return trip there some years ago, 19, 20 years ago. And my translator's over at our house. He happened to be in the States. And he said to Nancy, oh, I understand he doesn't eat a lot of food. And we had all these special fish we cooked for him and all this. And he said he doesn't like it. And she said, that means he's never tasted it. And he goes, oh, are you serious? I said, honey, did you have to do that? Because now he's going to have to taste it. That's the way a lot of us are spiritually. I don't believe that. In other words, I've never studied it. We don't do that. In other words, we've never experienced it. Look, when I got saved, we sang the hymns. We did things a certain way. And I remember, you know, we'd sing certain hymns, the upbeat ones, and when we get to the last chorus, we'd sing it twice. We'd sing it twice. And the founding pastor of the church came in, and we sang the chorus 3 times, and I thought, he is radical. This man is radical. And then I went to another church, and the hymns had 4 verses, but they skipped the third. They said first, second, fourth. I thought, well, they're compromises. They're compromises. I mean, things that tiny, that little, and I'm thinking one guy's radical and judging the others. There are a lot of things that are just different. You're expecting Chinese food, it's Italian. You're going to say, what's the matter with this? Nothing. It's just different than what you expected, but also healthy and good on the menu. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No, Matt, I will not eat the Chinese delicacy known as the glass noodles of the sea, a.k.a. jellyfish. I was in Israel one time looking at the menu in Hebrew, and there's a particular thing. I didn't know what it was, and I'm glad I didn't order it. And it was worse than jellyfish. So, no. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let me just play another clip or two from my Samson message in my book, whatever. No, not calamari either. Sorry, even though it's Italian and all that. Sorry, no. Just assume no. Let be no default, all right? And I'll be happy with my few little items. I'm not picky. I'm real simple. Well, I'm simple picky. You know what I'm saying? You know, easy to satisfy. And I'd rather just have water than have something else. 866-348-7884. If you're just tuning in, you'll have to catch the entire broadcast, actually just previous minutes, to figure out what I was saying. But in my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, I have a whole chapter called The Samson Cycle, addressing the charismatic church because of evident abuses. Again, the goal being to see Jesus glorified to the full. Here's where I was pouring out my heart to my charismatic brothers and sisters. This is some years back, clip number 49.
Like Samson, we were given a special anointing and call, a great commission to bring spiritual restoration. Like Samson, we were Nazarites in our earliest years, truly set apart from this world to the Lord. And like Samson, we have been seduced by the lusts of the flesh. We've lost our true strength while sleeping on Delilah's lap. We have broken our holy covenant with God, and like Samson, we don't even know that his presence has greatly left us. But eventually the flesh caught up with him, and he reaped the awful harvest he had sown. Sin, not the Philistines, not Delilah, not the devil, became his undoing. It will be our undoing too.
Yeah, and one more clip. We'll play clip number 50 as I call us to repentance, as I call us to turn to the Lord and turn away from folly. Now, tragically, Pastor John MacArthur says that the entire movement from the beginning has just brought forth bad fruit. No, it's actually brought forth the greatest harvest of souls in any given century in the history of the church. Mm-hmm, it has. Populating heaven. People you're going to be with forever and ever and ever. So get used to it. And a great demonstration of the power of God, demonstrating that Jesus is risen from the dead, so people turn to him. See, the purpose of signs and wonders in apostolic days, no different than today, is to turn people to Jesus. It's to demonstrate that Jesus is alive. So, in fact, I want to play right after clip number 50, have clip number 15:15 ready, and I'll tell you when to go through it. But listen to this last clip from my Samson message. By the way, if you want to watch it on YouTube or just listen to the audio on YouTube, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest video, and you'll see it listed there. Okay, let's listen.
Most of us don't mess up because of the big things. We mess up because of the little things. We mess up because we didn't take time to lay the proper foundations. We mess up because we didn't dig the wells deep enough. We mess up because we want to skip the fundamentals. These are foundational truths to us. These are foundational truths. It's not either or. It's character and charisma. It's word and spirit. It's not either or. But let's be impressed by the things that impress God.
Right. It's not either character or charisma. It's not either word or spirit. It is both together. Unfortunately, my colleague Pastor John MacArthur, in his conference and in his book, Strange Fire, has taken such a different tact on this that it's become important to address these things, but in a way that I believe will ultimately be constructive. And I'm convinced that ultimately there are going to be more and more people filled with the Spirit, more and more people embracing the gifts and power of the Spirit for today as a result of this conference, kind of a ricochet effect. So this is what Pastor John MacArthur had to say about the charismatic movement as a whole. Well, where is it? Johnny, what happened? Demons interfering? You've frozen? You've fallen over? Are you in a trance? Are you there? Clip number 15:1-5. Clip number
when you trace
15.
The charismatic movement back to its roots, historically and theologically, it stems from a bramble bush, not a fruit tree.
Yeah, and what he said plainly is, plainly, that it's a deception and a fraud. So that means all my Pentecostal friends, all you in the Assemblies of God and the Church of God in Christ and these other, is it Church of God in Christ, Major Pentecostal? Sorry if I got that wrong. Church of God in Prophecy, but or Church of God in Prophecy, right? The major Pentecostal denominations, according to this, all your roots are bad, all the fruit is bad, although you may have some good guys in the midst of it. That's not because of charismatic doctrine. And that's what's really such a terrible, terrible blind spot, terrible error, because we're not recognizing what the Word says and the Word and Spirit together, glorifying Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Jason in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well.
Just want to say, one, thank you for all that you do. I've been listening to you for about almost 8 years, following your ministry and been tremendously blessed by it. Thank you for everything you do.
Well, you're very welcome, and that's a blessing to hear. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm I was one of the people on Twitter. I know you have a whole bunch of people. I'm the Hebrew elder on Twitter. I've said a couple things to you. But,
okay. I'll make the connection next time. Thanks, Jason.
Real quick, one of the things, I actually tuned in live streaming and to the Strange Fire Conference, and one of the sessions that they had, they were talking about, so what do you do when you have experienced things and, supernatural events seem to happen, and what do you call that? And it seemed like they said, well, you're supposed to call that God's providence. And one of the things that gets on my nerves, and I've been interacting with people on Twitter, it seems like if you do not define them or use the same terms that they use, then you're in error. So whereas...
Yep.
As from a charismatic perspective, I'll say the Spirit told me or led me to do this. They will say, oh, no, that's God's providence. And I'm like, we're fighting over semantics sometimes.
Right. Now here's the other thing. Here's the other thing to take hold of. And that just prompts me to get something queued up. Johnny, get numbers 37 and 38 ready to play. Here's the thing. If we're dividing over semantics, that's ridiculous. If we're dividing over this is going to get you to heaven, this is going to get you to hell, well, then by all means, we make a separation. But look, the word I put on the thing is so secondary. But here's the big argument. Here's the big argument. That if the thesis is this, that the Holy Spirit cannot speak today or bring any revelation because that would be adding to Scripture, which is complete nonsense. It does not follow in any way, and it's contradicted within Scripture itself, as I'll explain in a moment. Then if I was really praying, Lord, do you want me to take this job? And I had this deep sense, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And then this other sense, something good's going to happen with a call tomorrow. And it happens. Okay, did that add to the Bible? Of course it didn't add to the Bible. There were all these prophecies that were spoken in New Testament times that were not part of the Bible. There were prophecies spoken in Old Testament times that were not part of the Bible. But here, what does someone do with this, all right? God willing, I'm going to India my 21st time in December. I was there some years ago. The son of the leader of the ministry there came up to me. He was married. I had baptized him and the woman he's married to now when they were teenagers before they were together. Now they're married, and Uncle, that's the way they refer to you affectionately. They said, Uncle, we can't have kids. And I said, all right, how long have you been married? A few years, can't have kids. I said, let's believe by the time I come next year, you'll be holding a baby in your arms. So when I come the next year, they're holding the baby. And I said, what's the name? They said, you're going to name the baby, Uncle. I said, I'm going to name it? They said, yeah. I said, what have you been calling him? They said, oh, just, boy or whatever. He's a few months old. So I prayed and felt his name was Daniel. And I gave him the name Daniel. Well, came back a subsequent time, they've had another baby. And this time I knew I was going to name the baby. And it's sometimes they do that in India, have someone else name the child. So we have the service. And from the moment I knew I was going to name this boy, I hear in my heart his name is Jonathan. His name is Jonathan. His name is Jonathan. His name is Jonathan. I prayed right up to the day I was going to do it. That's all I hear. His name is Jonathan. I get up to dedicate the baby and to pray, and I said, his name is Jonathan, and the wife, it was a precious moment. I look over, and tears start streaming down her cheeks. And she had prayed. She thought of David and Jonathan, but then David fell. So she said, Daniel, no recorded sin. So she loved the name Daniel. So she prayed that God would speak to me to name her child Jonathan. And when I said his name is Jonathan, that's why she started crying. And by the way, there's one more story with child number three that I was directly involved in. Another miracle story, Jason. And I got to name the girl now when I go back. But what are you going to say? Was that the devil? Was that just providence? Was that the Spirit speaking? Thanks, Jason. God of light, hear our cry.
Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Again, these are the things that deeply, deeply concern me. Clip number 37 from the Strange Fire Conference.
We are not dividing the body of Christ in this conference. We are trying to identify the body of Christ and show that these people aren't part of it.
Exactly. Charismatics, Pentecostals, not part of it. And clip number 38, in case there's any doubt about this.
One of the criticisms that coming is, this is divisive, these are our brothers, these are our sisters in Christ, they're not. Should we be happy about that? No, we ought to be heartbroken about that. If we want to talk about fire, then we need to talk about snatching brands from the burning.
Uh-huh. So that's why we address these things, because of the terrible danger, because of the destructive comments like that, because of the divisiveness of it, because of lack of recognition of the glorious things God's doing around the world, because of some abusive preacher somewhere, some charismatic charlatan somewhere else. It's like me saying that God's not with Southern Baptists, or Southern Baptists aren't saved because you got all these dead Baptist churches around. That would be the same wrong statement to make. Rather say, brother, I agree that there are abuses. We've been addressing them for years. Now let's dialogue so that we could move forward, because you need me and I need you. We need each other. 866-34-TRUTH. And again, the clips are representative of the conference as a whole and representative of the book, which I was sent an advanced copy of. That's what's the most important thing to know. All right, to the phones, David in Tampa. We lost David in Tampa, Florida. All right. Don't want to go there. You know, I think tomorrow, I think I'm going to do this tomorrow. I think I'm going to, since it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, talk about what Scripture says and doesn't say about prosperity. And are there differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament? But let me do this. In my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, which we reprinted together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God, I have a chapter called Connoisseur Christians and a Gourmet Gospel. Now, it applies throughout the church, but especially in a lot of our charismatic circles. But it's epidemic throughout the church. And I have these quotes at the beginning of the chapter. One from William Gurnall, Puritan, author of the classic book, The Christian in Complete Armor. He said, he that thinks to please men goes about an endless and needless work. A wise physician seeks to cure, not please, his patient. Or as another Puritan, Jean Dale, said, ministers are not cooks, but physicians, and therefore should not study to delight the palate, but to recover the patient. Ah. Can I repeat that? Ministers are not cooks, but physicians, and therefore should not study to delight the palate, but to recover the patient. George Whitfield said this: secure sinners must hear the thundering of Mount Sinai before we bring them to Mount Zion. Every minister should be a Boanerges, a son of thunder, as well as Barnabas, son of consolation. D.L. Moody, these are all quotes at the beginning of the chapter. I would rather have a moderately small meeting of earnest Christians than to have it packed with thousands of careless people. I wonder how some of our church growth philosophy plays out with that. John Wesley, we're all approve, few profit. Carl Henry, speaking for a national morality movement and an evangelical leader, recently remarked, this is written in 85, speaking for a national morality movement, an evangelical leader recently remarked, quote, the United States has turned away from God. It mocks God. It worships the 20th century Baal, incarnated in sensuality, material goods, and immorality of every kind. Yet, Henry says, only a few years ago, we were told that a new evangelical awakening had dawned in America. This very decade, it was said, is the decade of the evangelicals. See, friends, in the body, in the evangelical camp, in the charismatic camp, and then some of the fathers in the faith centuries before, we've been addressing these issues of a soft gospel that's really not a gospel, an all-about-me message, a shallow message, a message of how to make my life better as opposed to how to become a child of God. And in my chapter, Connoisseur Christians and a Gourmet Gospel, I talk about the hard time we would have had with Jeremiah. We would have written him off. Too negative. All he seems to talk about is judgment. Then I go on with that. Joel, too emotional. Joel's too emotional. What's with this call for wailing and mourning? Ezekiel, too weird. And I expand on all these. Hosea, he's too carnal. He's got a problem with women. Isaiah, he's too lofty. Spends too much time with the upper crust. John the Baptist, too harsh. Way too harsh. John the Apostle, too spiritual. And Paul, too confusing. What about Jesus? Too radical. He makes totally unrealistic demands. He tells people if they want to be his disciples, they have to leave everything, deny themselves, take up their cross daily. He's obviously not a family man. He orders people that hate their parents. Tells them if they don't love him more than them, they're not worthy of him. It's clear he doesn't have a shepherd's heart. I hear he once called a needy Canaanite woman a dog, and he was totally insensitive to a son grieving for his dad who had just died. He said, let someone else bury your father. You come after me. To judge by his followers, I mean, they're not very deep either. He can't be too deep. Only fishermen, tax collectors, political activists, and prostitutes seem to be impressed by him. Religious leaders know better. He's so undignified. He spits when he heals people. He talks out loud to demons. He actually touches lepers and corpses. Worst of all, he has this death fixation. He keeps talking about being crucified in Jerusalem. If he's not careful, he's going to find himself in a heap of trouble pretty soon. Oh, see, this is the counsel that we would give in our carnal mentality, even to Jesus and those in Scripture, because we just want a soft, cushy, all about me, make me feel good gospel. So, come on, friends, cessationist, charismatic, Pentecostal, Baptist, lovers of Jesus in different groups, let's go back to the gospel together. Let's go back to the foot of the cross together. Let's go back to the authority of Scripture together. And let's, in that sense, give the devil a black eye and touch a lost and dying world and help each other grow in the process. So the book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, I just read that little excerpt. I was reminded of what I felt writing it years back. Together with whatever happened to the power of God, which will stir your heart to really know God and go after him, plus the 2 hours of the CDs from Monday's broadcast, $25, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line together. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. The mouth can't say to the hand, I don't need you. What does that say to each of us in the body?